All right, live from Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio, back again another week, another episode on WVUF 88.5 FM. I'm your host, Kyle Majewitz, along with Jack Sarasulo. Nice week in stag country. How does it feel to be back on the air?
It feels great. You know, it's we say it every week, but like this is like probably the most confidence we've had in like a Fairfield team in a minute.
Yeah, and it makes me more excited for these shows because I feel like the better they play,
we should be happy on these shows instead of like worrying about like.
And we could also be a little cockier on these shows, you know.
We also don't have to talk about like incoming freshmen every week about like how like the next year will be so much better because we're good now.
Yeah, so
and we can officially say we are good.
We are a good team.
Yeah, I mean it's 8 games in. It's not like we're and we should really be 6-2 instead of 5 and like that.
That Loyola game really hurts, but leave it in the past. A nice weekend for the Stags, opening up MAC play. We're going to talk about those two games and also get you prepared for tonight's game. But before we do that, let's talk about some net rankings that came out.
Yeah.
Some MAC rankings. Monmouth is 41. Iona was 60th. We're actually 105th in the net rankings. So, I mean, first of all, I'm kind of surprised that Iona wasn't ahead of Monmouth. I know they've both been doing well.
Yeah, but I thought Iona would be the easiest like highest MAC team because it takes into account like quad wins like based on like how good the teams you play like their quad 1, 2, 3, or 4. And, I mean, Iona must have played the most quad 1 teams out of anyone in MAC.
And then like they just like I feel like even this week Bama beating Gonzaga had to be big for their ranking because they beat Bama obviously so.
Rankings, I guess, just updated because now they're 107 Fairfield.
107?
Yeah.
Do you know what those other two are?
I'll check right now. Because I was looking at 105 and I saw Vanderbilt and I was like, what? But now they're 107 instead of 105, so not much difference.
Yeah, and then, I mean, that's still pretty impressive for
I mean,
Fairfield.
If you told us we were a top 100 team in college basketball.
Weren't we like 2-something last year?
Yeah, we were close to 300. I think we were almost 300 start this year.
So, I mean, that's a great improvement. And obviously, it doesn't really mean much because we're not going to get an at-large bid or anything.
It's
but
just nice to compare yourself to.
Like, yeah, and it's nice to be recognized, right? Because like even the lines for Fairfield games recently have been kind of like a little disrespectful.
Yeah, especially in conference.
And I think tonight we see like the shift of Fairfield getting respect from even like the odds makers, right? They're 14.5 point favorites tonight, or I think it's down to 14. But either way, you know, I think we had a 80% chance to beat Canisius on Friday, and we saw how that turned out.
Okay, so Monmouth is now 42, and Iona is one up to 55.
They went down. They were 60. So Iona got better.
Iona got better,
Monmouth
went
up. Yeah, Monmouth was 41. They went to 42.
Yeah, but you want to... Oh, yeah, yeah. I was thinking, like,
they
right.
got
was,
worse.
They got worse, yeah.
Iona got better. It's still interesting to me. I still feel like Iona's
I still
clearly
think
the team to beat.
Easily better than... I mean, to be fair, Monmouth did beat Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, they did, but I mean, Iona beat a top 10 team in the country that also beat
Gonzaga,
one of the best teams in the country. So, I don't know. We don't want to advocate for them too much on this show, but... It's clear that they're the top two to beat, but I think we're right there. Yeah, I think we're right under them.
If you look at, like, the rest of the MAC teams, it's like you have, like, now you're, like, 148, and then, like, the rest are, like, 250 and below. So it's, like, there's an obvious gap.
The one surprise
St. Peter's
that I wanted to mention was because on the message boards, there was, like, a top 25 mid-major ranking from, like, College Insider, and Manhattan had gotten votes. They weren't in the top 25, but they had gotten votes for it.
That's interesting.
Interesting to me. I mean, I know they beat Siena. I watched a little bit. I watched the end of that game after our game. They beat Siena in overtime, but Siena is not the same.
I mean, also, it's like you're basing like an eye test kind of poll versus like a completely computer-generated poll. Like Manhattan, based on computer, whatever stats they use, they're considered the 241st best team in college basketball.
Yeah, and then considered votes they get. They get vote. That was just more, like you said, more of an eye test. And they beat team. They did beat like Liberty and like I don't know FDU, but they just lost at home to Quinnipiac by like 20.
This is old though, because this has Fairfield at 4-3. So hopefully a win on Sunday Sunday
win
and
today.
Win tonight. Might you never know.
But I'll just say like Manhattan. I'm still not too impressed with them. Siena's not the same team from last year. I see people on Twitter all the time, like Siena fans, pretty upset about this season. And then we know Quinnipiac's not the best team this year, and they beat them by 20. So enjoy it while you can, Manhattan, but you're not going to be up there for long. We're coming.
Holy Cross, if we want to talk about Holy Cross a little bit, they are ranked 351 out of 358 on the net rankings list.
Interesting.
So bottom seven team in college basketball.
Yeah. That's I think that's reflective of the spread tonight for the game.
I mean, yeah.
But but we'll get into some of their stats, or just some you know, some interesting stuff for tonight's game. But let's talk about the weekend, because we don't want to get
too ahead of ourselves.
We don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, because we have a lot to celebrate for this weekend. Fairfield went into MAC play, you know, with a above 500 record, which we haven't really seen in a while going into MAC play.
I mean, we're used to getting our first win in MAC play.
Yeah, and you know, they play Canisius, so it's their road trip up north, and
the Niagara Falls swing.
Yeah, it's tough drive. Yeah. Tough drive for sure. So Fairfield wins on Friday, 74-68. I know you got to see what?
Did you see the first half? Second half of the first half. So 10 minutes. The last 10 minutes of the first half.
Okay. I watched the whole game except for at halftime. I walked from my house to your house to watch the end of the game.
Not your house, but
next door to you.
Yeah.
And so I missed like the first 5 or so minutes of the second half, and it went from a close game to us up by 10.
Just say you missed the whole run.
I missed the run. Yeah, I did miss the run, but I was saying, like, if it came down to it and it was close towards the end of the game, I probably would have had to take another walk, just because that was the edge. So I was prepared to take another walk in the cold, but luckily they held their lead, and they won 74-68. Let's get into some stats. Fairfield shot 53% from the field, continuing their hot streak. Again, they're one of the top scoring teams in the MAC right now. So it's weird. It's funny, like, seeing them shoot 53% right now. I'm like, oh, all right, they shot 53%. Like, if we saw that last year, that would have been like, oh, my God, they shot 53%.
The fact that 70 points has become commonplace for this offense, it's like they're bucking, like, the trend, like, the stereotype that, like, I feel like
that Fairfield
85% of Fairfield students have and Fairfield alumni have of the team.
Yeah, and them shooting 53%, like, it still impresses me, but it doesn't surprise me like it would, you know what I mean, like, last year or even the beginning of this year.
They scored 74 points with shooting 45% from the line. Imagine they actually put in their free throws.
And they're usually a good free throw shooting team.
That'd be an 80-point night from them.
They also shot 38% from three, which is, again, kind of where we've seen them. And then, like you said, 45% from the line, 9 for 20. So not a great night from the line. And you're just happy that doesn't come back to bite you, because sometimes, usually it does. And, you know, they actually tied rebounding, Canisius. We got 5 assists, 3 steals, 7 blocks, only 7 turnovers. Again, that's pretty good for Fairfield.
Under 10. Just keep it under 10.
20 fouls. Largest lead for us, 5. That can't be right. Is that right?
No, it can't. 5? Wait.
It says 5 on ESPN. I swear that's not right. Weren't we up 10? Like,
I thought they were up 10 at one point. I'm looking through the recap, see if there was like...
Wait, they won by 6. That's not right.
Yeah.
That can't be.
Oh, yeah,
right.
They won by 6.
Yeah. All right, so ESPN's wrong on that one. That's not us. But maybe they did it wrong. They have Canisius' largest lead, 12. Maybe they flipped it.
Might be inversed, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, we definitely led by more than 5. Canisius shot 40%, 31 from the 3, 70 from the line. They tied with us in rebounding. They had 10 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, 9 turnovers, 24 fouls. So moving into the box score, this is kind of like where the start of like Caleb Green's
and the Allen and Caleb
show,
and yeah, it's the two of them. I mean, the two of them combined for 27 points.
If you told me that on last week's show, I don't even know what my reaction would be.
Like, think about it, like, they probably didn't even score like 27 points combined last year.
they probably were like a little bit higher than that.
They combined last year, they probably only scored like 45 points as a whole. And they scored 27 combined in one game. And a win, nonetheless.
And, like, they were the two leading scorers. Cruz led. But, you know, I mean, even last year at times when we were down on Cruz, if you told us that Allen, Caleb, and Cruz would be leading.
Yeah. But score like 50% of the team's points in a game and win. And like an impressive win. And like
I would be head scratcher. But nonetheless, Caleb had a phenomenal night. He played 36 minutes, shot 6 for 11 from the field, 2 for 3 from 3, which is just emerging a 3-point shot that we just didn't see at all for a very long time, which is we're not complaining, obviously. But he also had 3 rebounds, a steal, a foul, single foul, and 14 points. He didn't even have any assists.
Interesting. I mean, it could just be him looking for a shot, or I mean, to be fair,
When you're scoring, though.
Yeah, you gotta take.
It's not really a big deal
look for a shot.
Yeah, it's not really a big deal that he didn't have assists because he was scoring. Supreme Cook, he contributed 26 minutes, 4 for 9 from the field, 0 for 4 from the line, contributing to that poor free throw shooting night. 8 rebounds, though, 1 assist, a block, 3 turnovers, 2 fouls, 8 points. So, not as dominant from him, but again, I mean, we'll take it. I mean,
the fact that we're getting 8-8 and calling that like a bad night for him. Like, 8-8 is...
For what he's grown to, yeah.
That's the floor for him, and that's like impressive to have that.
It wasn't a bad night, but it was more so just like an average, I guess.
But
night.
Yeah, like, we expect, and then the 3 turnovers. More.
I guess 3 turnovers would probably be the more concerning.
Yeah, 0 for 4 from the line when he was kind of starting to turn it. Like, it seemed like he was trying to corner with the free throw shooting, too.
Yeah, and I mean, for someone like him, it's probably going to be more so like that, where it's like the consistency issue, because he did go 2 for 2 against Niagara
and
from the line, so it's like...
Was it the Stony Brook game where there was one game where he also had a very good night from the line.
Yeah, he's more so than not, he's been good from the line. So, it's not, like, concerning, and I think it'd probably just be... He's not going to be, like, a consistently great free throw shooter, but... He'll have his nights. And
just good to make sure he can, and like, he's at least like not.
He has it in him. It's not like a automatic miss when he goes to the line, which it is for some
especially cause
bigger
it's like,
guys.
Like at times, like he's literally just hacked in the paint. Like he gets actually hacked.
And then we had Allen, 33 minutes, 4 for 7 from the field, 5 for 8 from the line. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 2 fouls, 13 points. So like a very, very wholesome stat line from him, not just scoring wise, but all across the board.
Yeah, from what I watched of it, he was like everywhere, like defensively, offensively. Like he's like confident.
Yeah, and like, he had that Euro step going for him in this game. That pump fake at 3, which we always see him
for some reason. Everyone jumps for.
Yeah, and he. I mean, if they watched film, they'd know that Allen doesn't usually shoot the 3. He always does that pump fake and drives. The only thing is, in previous years and even earlier this season, he would do that pump fake, drive, and then lose the ball, whether it be like dribble off his foot or just get picked. Like that would happen a lot. And then in this game, he was driving, Euro stepping, finishing at the rim, or getting fouled. Like it looked way better. It looked like completely different than it has.
I feel like he's also minimized his dribbling. Like I feel like earlier you would see him try and like size guys up, and now it's like kind of more direct, like it's like pump fake, one dribble, finish at the rim instead of like a, I don't know.
Yeah, I would say like I think confidence has a big part to do with his success.
It's honestly just like seeing the ball go through the hoop. I think like that. I think that dunk in the Stony Brook
game. Yeah,
yeah, was like I think that literally like flipped the switch,
turned the corner for him. Yeah. I really do think that like confidence is big for him because I feel like he lacked the confidence to even try what he's trying now. Like, I feel like he didn't even want to try these type of things because he wasn't confident enough. I think confidence now is he's going at 3 guys in a lane and Euro-stepping through them. And I mean, like, he didn't do that in the past, or at least he didn't do it as well as he was doing it this
now,
weekend.
Like, I mean, like, the whole thing with Jae Young was saying was, like, he's, like, he gets so worked up because he only gets a few minutes and has to, like, prove that he can, like, take more minutes. But now you're seeing him with, like, legit... like starter minutes and like seeing the stat lines he can put up, it's like impressive. It's crazy.
Yeah, and
that was just like hanging around the bench last year when we were making that run.
And that's another thing too. Like when you don't have to be so worried that you have to do something every minute on the court because you only get 5 or 4 minutes, it definitely benefits his game as well. So he's been one of the biggest shocks of the season, I'd say. And I mean, we've always like had somewhat confidence in him, or we've always like liked Allen, but it's really nice
more,
to see this.
It was more of a potential thing. Now it's more like getting realized. Like it's now realized.
And you're definitely going to see him a lot more going forward.
Our investment is paying off.
Yeah. So our stock went up. Yeah. Oh, in Allen. Moving on. Zach Crisler played 12 minutes, 0 for 1 from the field, 0 for 1 from 3, 1 steal, 2 turnovers, 2 fouls. It was kind of a rough night for him. He did redeem himself on Sunday, but it was definitely a poor night from Zach. He had a tough stretch even in that game where he, I think, went in, lost the ball, fouled someone,
Yeah, I'm not even worried about the offense even. I'm more worried about his like defense at times, his rebounding. Mostly his rebounding. Just like defensively and rebounding, it's just like when we go up against a guy that the more athletic players or big men, he just looks like out of place.
Yeah,
and it's like tough because it's like he can't really do anything about it. It's just like who he is.
He's getting beat a lot.
Yeah,
it was tough. But I think like when you're playing a smaller team, or you know, like when you have the luxury now of having Allen in there and Cook, then you can go to like Cruz at Zach's spot.
Yeah.
You don't have to go big because now you already have two big guys in there. And that paid off for Jae Young. Cruz had a great game, and he's been having a great season. So I think, like, going forward, I don't know. I think Jae Young really likes starting Zach for whatever reason. But the majority of the minutes are now shifting towards Cruz, Allen.
Like, with Allen breaking through this game and, like, Cruz obviously having a great season, like, and TJ too, it's like, you're like losing minutes. Like there's gonna be no more minutes for him.
And we didn't even mention yet. We'll talk about it at the end. But I mean, Jake didn't even play in this game, so that's another guy that's gonna get big minutes.
I guess like it didn't affect him last game because he had a good 3-point shooting night. But like there are gonna be nights where he's not performing well, and TJ is gonna take, or Cruz is gonna take, or Allen's gonna take his minutes, and it will end up being like he's like almost out of the rotation.
Yeah. And I think it's really dependent on how well he's shooting the three that night. Because when he's hot.
Yeah, when he's hot, it's like.
And then, you know, he'll give us 14 points, and that's one of the top on the team, and it's a great, you know, he led scoring in against PC, one of the top on the team against Niagara. Like, that's a great contribution, but when the shot's off, it's been pretty off, and then there's really no other, like, reason for Jae to keep him in.
And he's a savvy player on defense to make up for his lack of athleticism. I mean, like, he knows that, obviously we've heard from him, he knows how to take a charge, but
yeah,
like the 3-1 shooting, it allows like scoring actual bunches, which is can't say the same for like Allen or Cruz. But yeah, the 3-point shot, it's like, and it's nice to have it still. It's not like it's like a negative.
Yeah,
like,
and with Cruz actually really improving his three, it almost even takes away the, infatuation with Zach scoring the three. Because now Cruz can kind of do it, too, pretty well. So that's another, it takes away that, like, well, he has this and you don't have this. Because now Cruz can also shoot the three. So it's like, you know, I mean, we'll see. But, I'd say he was probably one of the more disappointing on that night. And, even on the message boards, they always talk about like the plus minus when he's in versus Cruz, and it's a really big difference in Cruz's favor. So that's just an observation. Talked about Caleb already. Really, really strong game from him. Shooting very confidently. We also saw that, you know, he can do well driving to the rim when he's not going up against guys that are like extremely outsizing him. Obviously, he's always going to be outsized, but when it's not like Nate Wyatt in the paint,
when it's not like,
or Nate, what's his name?
Nate Watson
in the paint. When it's not him, I mean, he can score.
Only played like two like legit big men, and one of them only played for 11 minutes. So it's like he had his chances to like go up against 6'7" guys in the paint, like guys that he probably hasn't seen in. Since what, the Mega Rivers game? People that small.
Yeah. I mean, there's been, I mean,
as the five?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe in, like, Loyola or Stony Brook. I don't know. Either way, like...
Either way. It shows that when they're not... He's not facing the best in the conference, he can still score.
Yeah. And it's also, like... It's also... They are a little bit smaller, and it's also, like, the skill level is closer to us, too. It's not Providence or, you know, Boston College. It's, you know, a center with the skill level of the MAC. So, it's like...
It's not even like it's like the top center in the MAC. Like,
No, not even close.
Yeah, it's not the Indefos or...
I mean, he's not going to have that success against, like you said, Indefo or, like, Nelly Jr. Joseph, someone like that. But just overall, like, seeing he has that ability to go to the rim and score is great. And then having this outside shot that's been way more consistent than we've seen, aside from the MAC tournament last year where he did shoot pretty well, seeing him do it in back-to-back games is really inspiring. And I know you're a big Caleb guy. I know I've been pretty critical of him, but if he can do this on a somewhat consistent basis, we'll be sitting very pretty.
Yeah.
And just the fact that Fairfield has had a different leading scorer in every game so far this season.
Is that true?
Yeah. And it's likely to be broken tonight unless the only two I think that can still...
Does that include, like... Mullally and like
no. It's just saying that in every game we've only had eight games. In all eight of the games, there's been a different leading scorer.
That's crazy.
And it was somewhere in the message boards. They know what I'm talking about.
So what it's been like.
But one's personally,
Cook once, Chrysler once, Bojic once.
Yeah, I can't find Taylor it.
Once Taj once, Allen once, Mido once.
No, Mido has not been it yet. And
Allen,
Long,
and Cruz.
Cruz was this game. Chrysler was the first game. Jake has definitely been one of them.
Long has been
one. Taj has probably been one. Long has been one. It's Mido or... I think it's...
Mido or...
Caleb was on Sunday. It's Mido and someone else. It might be Allen. Is it Allen? I don't know.
Yeah, it has... No. Oh, yeah, it has to be Allen. Because he was, what, he wasn't leading scorer in the Canisius game.
Yeah, it's somewhere,
Okay, well, so I guess we're rooting for Mido or Allen to pop off tonight.
Yeah.
Keep the streak.
Yeah, I'm upset I can't find it. I was just looking at it.
That sounds right, Mido and Allen. I thought Mido would be the leading scorer for the Medgar Evers game.
No, you know who it was? It was Willis, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think I read that in the, in one of the previews or whatever. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Makai Willis. Here we go. I found it. I finally found it. It's on the Holy Cross preview on the message boards. Providence was Chrysler with 14. Boston College was Supreme Cook with 16. Medgar Evers was Jalen and Makai. Both had 14. Sacred Heart was Taj, 15. Stony Brook, Jake, 24. Loyola, TJ with 21. Canisius was Cruz with 16. And Niagara was Caleb with 16. So... Going into Holy Cross, Mido and Allen, with the exception of like any of the bench guys,
two rotation players that
the two guys who get like serious minutes, those two. So if one of them leads a team in scoring tonight, I think it'd be pretty funny. Is it likely? Probably not. But like, it could be with Allen.
I mean,
maybe
Allen could do it. I don't think Mido could do it.
Mido doesn't really shoot enough to even really.
Yeah, he doesn't get the minutes that like a. Allen could get.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not really a big deal, but I think it's just a great indictment
on, like, just, like, the team, how it's, like, there's no one.
The streak itself doesn't matter, but the stat is very good for Fairfield fans and for the team to, like you said, to know, like, that, first of all, on any given night, someone could be the leading scorer and that, you know, eight or nine guys have the potential to
have 15-plus.
Be the leading scorer, you know, so... Last year it was like, if Taj and Jake were shooting poor that night, we were screwed.
Maybe had like Supreme like score a couple baskets.
And like even rewind to our like freshman sophomore year, if it was Landon and he wasn't doing well, he couldn't create a shot.
And
he
had like
we
itis
done.
Like that like
yeah.
did, like a little bit like the tiniest
or like Easy or something like that. But
Easy
like,
was like our Easy was like our next best guy.
But it was like if Landon couldn't shoot that night pretty well, then. We were screwed. Like no one was gonna pick up the pieces, and to know like now it's like eight. I mean, with the exception of like obviously like Makai Willis and Jalen probably aren't going to lead the team in scoring other than the Med Grubbers game. But even like a good six or seven guys that can do it is incredible as compared to what we've seen in our time here. So that's a great stat that I didn't know you didn't know that. I'm glad glad I educated you on that.
Yeah, I didn't believe you. They're making it up.
Moving on, we didn't even get through this first game yet. Taj, 40 minutes, 3 for 7 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3, 1 for 3 from the line, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 fouls, 7 points. So with the like we were just talking about, with the addition of all these guys scoring now, we've seen Taj's scoring numbers drop.
I like him more in like a support role, though. I don't like him.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is, the thing about Taj, though, is he's so... We always tweet, like, Taj Benning, all reliable. Like the Rothstein
kind of tweet quote.
Because even though he's not scoring as much now, that's totally fine because other people are. We don't have to, like... It's nice to not have to rely so much on him to score, like, 14 to 20 points. But also, like, he's still one of the guys that can get us a bucket at a very dire time.
Yeah, like if we need a game-time basket with, like, no time left, like last position of the game, it's most likely him driving would probably be my choice, is like who we put the ball in. It's like either him driving or Cook posted up,
because he's so strong, he's has such a great ability to get to the rim, and he finishes well usually, and if not he gets fouled, and he's a great free throw shooter. So
he's a great mid-range shot. Like he's been able to develop like all three levels of scoring.
The three has been rough this year.
It's been but you know, it's still like It's not what it used to be. Still, it's still better than what it used to be.
It's not as bad as it was, but it's not as good as last year.
No.
If he could figure it out, that'd be great.
But I mean, like back when we were playing like Providence and BC, he looked great. And like as long as he has that in his back pocket, and like for like say like a rainy day, like
yeah, you know? No, it's just I love how reliable he is though. Still, even though we're not forcing him to score like you know like I said 14 points or whatever. But the fact that like. He did it like in Stony Brook. He's done it a few times this year, and it's like we really need a basket. They're on a run. The other team's on a run. We're really not shooting well right now, and he's gonna just drive to the hoop with everything he's got.
He's a nose for the free throw line.
Get us some points somehow. So, yeah, I'd say his stat lines don't look as pretty as they did last year, but I think he's doing just fine where he is and.
I mean, if you look,
he's still going to have the games where he leads
the
scoring too.
Stats, but like the field percentage isn't good, but like 11, 6 and 3. Take that. That's a populated stat line every night.
And then like when you consider like we said that's not like all we have. Like that used to be our only punch.
Yeah, that 11 was like our
only
score.
Or like one of our only punches, but now that's like our, you know, he scored 7 and he wasn't even like top 4. Five guys.
He was
scoring.
The lowest scoring player outside of Chrysler who had 0.
Yeah. Tied with TJ.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the bench. Maito played 18 minutes, 4 for 5 from the field, 1 for 3 from the line, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, 3 fouls, 9 points. Pretty solid game from him all around. He's been playing pretty well. He had a pretty good weekend.
He's quiet because he's like overshadowed by Supreme a little bit. But I do like he. I mean,
he's
this
had
game
some electric dunks.
This was actually like his minutes were like mostly what I watched, and like I mean, to possess that end of that first half, kind of like I love that out of him. I think that like honestly was like huge for like the entire game. Like a possession before their last possession of the half, he gets a wide open dunk, misses, leads to free throws, and then. That last session, were you watching at that point? The very last
session? I did watch the whole first half. I just can't recall specifically what you're talking about. But
I mean, he missed a dunk like session before the end of the half, Maito, and then they came down. I think Kanisha scored. And then the last session of the half, as time was running out, he like split two defenders and had an and-one dunk, and I was impressed.
Yeah.
I don't know. You rarely see Maito, much less from the three-point line, like, take the ball himself when he's a chance to like give it to a guard or someone.
Yeah he's usually just kind of like on an island up there.
Yeah,
but I mean then and you're right, that game was very close at that point too, so it was like it was nerve-wracking.
I don't even remember if he made the free throw or not, but I just momentum
we went up one at the half, 37-36, and it was nerve-wracking because they had their moments, and I felt like we were like better than them the whole time, but like they had their moments, and going up only one at the half, I didn't feel like super confident. I was like nervous for how the next half was going to work out, and then we went on our run, obviously. But pretty solid game from him, and like he's had some electric dunks this weekend, alley oops, and
yeah, the alley oops. I mean, everything. The Niagara game the next day or later in the weekend, they were throwing lobs left and right.
Yeah, and they've been falling. They've been working, and I think you could see that a lot more this year, because last year they tried it a lot.
They tried a lot. The play, like the out of the half play.
That was always their first play in the second half. It was always their first play in
and
the second half.
Always result in a turnover.
Yeah.
It would never work.
It never worked, but this year it's been working.
That's
so.
How you knew the season was different, when we started seeing those lobs completely yeah. in the Providence game.
Yeah. So, pretty solid game from him. You know, if he can give us those numbers, we'll take it. Like, you know, him and Cook combine for 17. Points.
And 11, I mean.
Yeah. Double-double.
I mean, our big men, outside of Iona and St. Peter, I think they have the best big men, third best big men in the MAC, would you say?
Probably.
Like that. I mean,
I haven't had a chance to look at, like,
I don't know how they're doing so far this year, but I've watched Iona and I've seen, I know.
Obviously, Iona and St. Peter's have good.
And Monmouth, I feel like it's their guards that do most of the dirty
work.
Yeah,
I haven't had a chance to watch a lot. I feel like a lot of teams are new this year, like, transfers or people graduating. I really haven't had a lot of chance to watch many of the teams, but except for Iona, who's obviously very good.
We've seen Canisius Niagara play.
Yeah, and they really aren't that impressive.
Yeah.
I even thought Hammond, or we'll get into that. That's the next game. TJ, 7 minutes, 2 for 5 from the field, 1 for 4 from three. He had 2 for 2 from the line, 1 block, 1 turnover, 4 fouls, 7 points. He only played 7 minutes this game. Still wound up contributing point a minute. Not much there this game. I feel like maybe the 4 fouls kind of.
I mean, it's interesting that TJ only got 7 minutes with a game where Wojcik didn't play. It's like they're almost like it's such an easy slide. You slide in long for Wojcik, you'd think, but I mean, it worked out.
I just think, I guess with like Cruz playing so well,
yeah,
I guess he kind of takes that slot, and then like. With Caleb playing really well,
it's crazy that a guy as electric as TJ is like almost an afterthought just because of how deep they are.
Yeah, because if you look at the minutes, I mean, Caleb and Taj basically didn't come out. Cruz played most of the game. Allen almost played the whole game. Cook played most of the game.
And then the fifth spot is
obviously TJ's not going to go in for
those. Cook and Mido.
Yeah, so and then finally Cruz, 28 minutes, 7 for 11 from the field, 2 for 3 from three. 3 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 turnover, 3 fouls, 16 points. And he played very well in this whole weekend. But specifically in this game, just making plays, scoring at will sometimes. You know, even when like he gets stuck sometimes.
Well, yeah, he
near
usually
the
does
paint.
That where he drives and he tries to spin. And then
and like, he keeps spinning, and I'm like, please pass. I'm like,
and
please
then
just pass.
He'll do like a spinning fadeaway. Like,
but somehow, it works.
Or something crazy.
Somehow it works. And he had a lot of those in this game, when, especially in the first half when it felt like we couldn't score for a little while and the offense wasn't really as potent as it's been. He had maybe 2, 3, 4 possessions in a row where he scored just at will like that.
The three-pointer is, like, the biggest part of it, I think, because the defense was always there. And the finishing, even at his worst, he had some good finishes. Like, he knows how to...
Oh, he's always had acrobatic
He's always had his good footwork. His footwork's always been, like, impressive. I know, like, the announcers like to point that out. But, like, the three-point shot just... It's like...
It expands his game.
Yeah.
They got to respect him now, and he can drive better now.
Makes it easier from the score in the paint. And also, just... allows him to play more minutes because he can play like you don't have to surround him with other shooters because he is a shooter.
Yeah, 7-11 from the field. I mean, we've seen him last year go like 3 for 15. You know, and to see this, it's like complete.
Yeah, I don't think he's had one of those games this year yet.
He really hasn't.
Like the 2 for 11s or something crazy.
I don't think. Yeah, I mean, he was,
from what I remember,
shot 50% last game, and then 7-11. In the Canisius game, so yeah, he's really turned it around. It's almost like, I mean, Taj is still very good, but it's almost like how we saw Taj turn it around last year. It's almost like we're seeing Cruz with that this year.
And I think it's such an indictment. It's such like a positive opinion on Jae Young, because it's just like he moving to the bench, like it almost like changed like the way his mindset was.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing that happened for him.
Yeah, like I did. It's crazy.
Cause like he, like now the rotations he's playing in, like he, allow him to be the top
guy.
Yeah,
allows him to be
times.
The top guy while Taj and Caleb can play together, or he can play with like a TJ and a Mido.
And he'll also still get a lot
of minutes,
with
those
with
main
the,
guys,
with the main
but
team too.
It lets him get into a flow as like early on. He can play with the bench guys for a stretch, getting his flow. Then when he comes in, he can play more within the style of the offense. Let the game come to him.
Yeah. So that's kind of wrapping up that game. You know, I think it's a nice sign to see. I guess I'll save what I'm going to say for the end, actually. Let's move on to Fairfield Niagara on Sunday. Sunday was a wild day. So, like, I don't know if I'll remember all the plays from this game.
Yeah, I was.
Because we were really,
I was
like,
back and forth from NFL. And
yeah, we were really in deep on Sunday. We had the NFL on the one TV. We had Fairfield on the other TV. And then, you know, NYCFC was playing later that day. They won the conference championship. And then our flag football game was that night, semifinals. We lost, unfortunately. But we had a crazy sports day on Sunday, so if anything got lost in translation during the Fairfield game,
I'm
going to
say
apologize.
Right now, I think the first half was a blur for me. I was going to say it beforehand. The second half, I remember watching because they were playing like very well.
But yeah.
First half, I need some.
It's a close game.
More trailing.
Yeah. So if we don't remember play by play, we apologize.
Oh, this has the game flow chart. You can see like the score at any moment.
So perfect. This was the Caleb Green leading game. This is like completing the fact that Caleb's going to be hopefully pretty solid player for us going forward this season, because one game's like maybe a fluke, but two in a row, it's pretty solid.
Get some cooking.
And we'll see how he can continue it today, but basically Fairfield shot 51% from the field, again over 50%. It's becoming almost normal now. They shot 44% from three. They shot 93% from the line, back to where they should be. Again, tying rebounds with Niagara at 31. 15 assists, 4 steals, 4 blocks. Again, only 7 turnovers, same as Canisius game. 15 fouls, largest lead 13 for Fairfield. While Niagara shot 45% from the field, 33 from 3, 70 from the line. They had 13 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks, 7 turnovers, 15 fouls, and led by 7. Game was a 2-point game going into the half. And again, we saw, did Jake not start this one, or he did start this one?
Yeah, he did. He was back this game.
Oh, he did. So we never talked about, he didn't play in it.
I don't know
game.
If did the message board say anything about an injury, or?
I don't think so. I don't know if we know the reason. You got to assume he wasn't injured. I don't think he was injured. Yeah. If I had to guess.
A mini suspension?
He played a day later.
Yeah.
You know, 2 days, a day and a half later.
It could be just something that was bothering him. They didn't want him to play on it.
But he
know.
Was he was completely suited up and sitting
oh,
at
he
the
was?
End of the bench.
I remember asking him when it was going on.
Because Jalen wasn't suited up. He was hurt or still recovering. And obviously Chef isn't suited up. But Jake was right at the front of the bench, right next to the coaches.
So maybe it was like
so it had to be. Yeah, it had to be discipline. I don't know. Maybe we'll ask Jay at some point this year. Like, it's like when Tyler Nelson, right, when they had us ask Tyler why he didn't play that one game, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, they were like, this game in October or November of whatever year.
Yeah.
Like, he only played 2 minutes, so I need to know why.
And he remembered.
What was
it? It was discipline with him.
Oh, it was. You're right.
I forget specifically why, but it was discipline with him. I think he was
out too late partying the night before.
No. It was like something to this attitude I practiced. With Jake, I got to assume it's probably discipline, but don't take our word for it. I don't want to spread false rumors. So whatever it was,
it seemed fine.
It's interesting. That's a big game, you know? Like,
yeah,
the
first
game
of
the MAC
play, it's like you want to imagine. I mean, I respect it from
that's what I'm saying.
Jay Young.
It's
like
respectable from Jay to really have like the courage to really stick with his word in a game that like these teams, Canisius, Niagara, Marist, Manhattan, like
you need to win them.
You got to win these games because for seeding purposes, like you don't want to play Iona or Monmouth in the first round.
You also don't want to do what we did last year and have to play five games in 5 days just to make it to the final or whatever we did.
Yeah, because as much as you could be good all season, you can lose in one of those games. It's all over.
And but, I mean, as many minimizing the amount of games you have to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Get as high of a seed.
Help yourself as much as you can, and it starts with winning these games. As much as it's only December, it really does start right now. And that was a huge game, setting the tone for how we're going to be in the MAC, how we're going to be feared in the MAC. And for him to have the courage to sit one of our best players is, you know, you got to give him props for that.
I mean, you also had to give props to Jake. I mean, the fact that, like, we didn't even, like, notice anything different about him. Like, not like he was, like, out of it emotionally the next game. Like, he seems like he would accept whatever happened.
He's not going to, like, throw a fit or anything. And hopefully that sets the tone for the rest of the team, not to mess around.
Funny business.
Yeah. So, anyway, he did play in this one. So, Fairfield won 81-71 at Niagara on Sunday, moving them to 2-0 in the conference. Supreme played 17 minutes, 2-for-6 from the field, 2-for-2 from the line, 4 rebounds, a block, a turnover, 3 fouls, 6 points. And they actually did have who was their big man? Was it Cintron?
Cintron was one of them. Was it Triori? No.
Anyway, they actually had like big men who could somewhat probably put a body on them. So that's why he didn't score as much that.
Yeah, Triori was one of them, 6'11".
That day. But then you had Chrysler, 17 minutes, 4-for-5 from the field, 4-for-5 from three, 2-for-2 from the line, a rebound and assist, 14 points. So again, it's like night and day for the weekend.
Yeah.
0-14 points for him. And like we said, like, I mean, all his points came off threes and foul shots.
I'm very curious the last time Chrysler took a shot inside the 3-point line.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a while.
I mean, Canisius, what? Yeah, he was 0-for-1 from 3, is 4-for-5. Something that's slowing the radar. Like, he actually does not enter. He does not go inside that 3-point line.
Except, I mean, he had 2 foul shots. He must have.
Oh, he must have gotten fouled, yeah. Duh. But still.
No maybe shot. It was a 1. I don't even know what it was.
Maybe it was a 1-1. Bonus.
A bonus, yeah. Who knows? But complete turnaround for him. And, hold on. Can't stop coughing over here. But yeah, like we said, though, it's pretty dependent on that 3-point shot. Because if that shot wasn't falling that day, then you look at the stat line.
Yeah, it looks a lot worse.
Empty, so hopefully he can stay more consistent with that shot. And it'll obviously help us a lot with scoring. And then, sorry, keeps coughing over here. And obviously it'll help him, you know, keep his minutes higher than they were. So then we had Jake, 27 minutes, 2-for-5 from the field, 1-for-4 from 3, 2-for-2 from the line, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 turnover, 2 fouls, 7 points. So, you know, not his best night, but
He helped out, you know. He didn't really have to be on his best tonight, that game, because, I mean, everyone else was kind of doing it for him.
Yeah, and it's kind of like what Taj had 7 in the previous game. It's like, you know.
Sometimes you got to just, like, you got to take a back seat. It's, like, better.
Being a better teammate.
Yeah.
2-for-5 from the field. I mean, he only took 5 shots. So, 4 of them were threes. So, I mean, still 1-for-4 from 3 for him, though.
The stroke
happens. I'd like to see, yeah.
The stroke will get back. It's like, he's not like, he's a fundamentally sound stroke. It's not like he's, like, battling, like, his own, like, shot form. Just, it's going to go in at some point. They're going to start going in more.
Yeah. Just eventually, you hope it comes because, like, I mean, you can keep telling yourself that for
season. It could end up being February, and it's like,
it's coming. It's coming. It's like, no, it's February.
It's just that we have reason to believe it will come back.
We have enough sample size to know. So, moving on. Caleb, again, man of the hour. 28 minutes, 4-for-7 from the field, 3-for-5 from 3, 5-of-6 from the line, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover, 2 fouls, 16 points.
That is like the Caleb Green stat line that we thought of when we were watching his highlight tapes or whatever.
And researching his time at Holy Cross, coincidentally.
It was like 16, 5, and 3, one turnover, a steal, be able to shoot and drive, all that mixed together. That's
perfect.
Peak Caleb. That is a perfect game.
Yeah, it's a perfect stat line. And it's like, I remember even like, I saw like, I think Frank tweeted on Friday, like, Friday at Kanisha's, like, this is like, will forever be known as like the Caleb Green game.
It's like one day later, it's like.
But even Sundays, he played better on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, for
arguably.
Sure. Oh, my gosh.
And it's crazy. I mean, it's just a testament that, like, I don't think anyone thought that, like, it was going to work out like this. Like, it almost thought that Friday was a fluke.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. It's like Caleb, like, he finally has competition behind him. Like, the threat of losing minutes, I think it's, like, lit a
pushing
fire
him
under him, yeah.
Could be. And, again, a weekend could be a fluke, too.
That's true,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, last year, look at the game, some of the games we saw last year, the weekend sets.
Yeah.
So, not from just our team, but from opponents, too. Like, some opponents just had, like, absurd weekends.
I'm just saying, in Caleb's case, you know, a hot weekend could also be a fluke, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know if tonight and into, you know, next
we'll
week,
see, we'll
Sunday.
See tonight. I mean, revenge game, you have to imagine he's going to be amped up.
Hopefully, yeah. And against a definitely a lesser opponent, too. So he should have the ability to, you know, pop off a little bit. But we'll see. But if this is any indication of the Caleb we're going to get this year, it's a complete turnaround from last year, and it's going to help us so much.
Book our tickets to AC.
Definitely not yet. Well, I mean,
we'll be there. But, I mean, like, book our tickets, like, the championship.
A whole week-long stay. Taj, 34 minutes, 5 for 11 from the field, 0 for 1 from 3, 3 for 3 from the line. He had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, turnover, a foul, 13 points. Very solid stat line from Taj. And, yeah, it's going to fluctuate from – his points are going to fluctuate, but his production is very solid. Rebounding, we know
always,
what we get
always
from
him. Rebounding, always passing. Always playing defense.
He's always doing something on the court. Just a very solid player all around. And very thankful he's back for another season.
Him and Cruz.
Yeah. Because, I mean, how interesting would it be if they weren't here?
It would. The lineups would be, like, the thing of even like what a lineup would look like. It would be like you would have to have put Long in for Taj and Leach would have to play Cruz's minutes or something. Like, it would be weird.
Yeah, and Leach isn't even healthy right
and
now.
And, yeah, they wouldn't even, like, have, like, they have to play Allen a bunch.
And the fact that Chef got hurt, too, like, they would really be kind of screwed.
Yeah. And they would have to dip into the bench guys.
Mekhi Willis would probably have to play more
minutes. Yeah, definitely. I mean, they would have to play
even
more.
Even Sivas.
They would have had to play more, like, big lineups. Just because they would have been lacking guards.
Yeah. And it's funny because with them, we're like, we have a overflow of guards.
Yeah, it's like we just want one, not both. But now we truly need both.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we were joking about that last year. Like, Taj, you can stay. Cruz can stay.
Yeah.
But now it's like Cruz is like,
we're very wrong in that.
Yeah, we were very wrong, and we're glad to be wrong.
Yeah.
We're glad to admit our mistakes.
I mean, that's the best part about, like, I don't know.
That's what the media does. It gets lights a fire under the players. You know? We'll be hated if it means Fairfield becomes a superstar team.
I don't know if we specifically lit
not
the
us,
fire,
but you know, it's a group effort.
But no, it's the best part about this is being proven wrong. I think because it, I don't know.
We would rather have been proven wrong than proven right.
Exactly, especially when a lot of the times we're criticizing, you know.
Yeah.
In previous years,
it's not like we were.
This year, we're not. But it is nice to be proven wrong. We're still genuinely rooting for them, right?
It's like, not like we were calling,
it's
like,
still our favorite team. Yeah. So we're not, like, hoping they're wrong just so that
we're
right.
Like
we're not hoping they're bad just
we're not
so
like
we're
a
right.
Low-key, like self-hating, like some, like...
Like Knicks fan?
Yeah,
or
some, like, Knicks beat writers like to, like, root against them so they can, like, write, like, their hit pieces on the team and, like, get views. But, like, we're not like that.
No. We're still rooting for these guys. Still our favorite team at heart. I mean, we're literally, like... we, like, plan, like... Everything around watching
it's
these
like
games.
Our weekends are like, hey, we gotta be like sitting down at 1 because like the Fairfield game is on.
Friday, I was like, I'm not going anywhere until this Fairfield game is over. I was like, I literally walked to your house, and then everyone had already went down the street already, and I was like, I'm staying here to watch the end of this game.
I mean, I was texting you during my formal. I was literally texting you. I was like, because I checked the score at one point. I was like, what is going on? Because they were up like I forget at one point they were up 10 or like they're, I think they're up double digits at one point. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, I was like, I'll meet you guys like in 40 minutes. Second half just started and like I'm not missing this game and I don't need like I don't need any distractions while watching this game. Like I'll be there like 8 or like 9 or whatever. Like that's like that's how much we care about this team. So anyway, who did we just talk about? Taj. Moving on to the bench, we had Allen moving out of that starting role. Kind of interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Personally, I think I would like to see
I like
maybe
him in the starting lineup.
See him in for Zach.
The thing is, like, Zach, I don't see where Zach fits in without being in the starting lineup. I think he's his best, like, synergy-wise, lineup-wise, he best plays with those four that are in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
So it's, like, tough.
But you do see, like, Allen played 33 minutes now. Jake did come back, but he had a really solid game, and then he only plays 16 against Niagara.
I mean, he didn't score, but, like, 2 blocks, a steal, an assist, 3. Like, he was still contributing.
Yeah. And then he only took 2 shots, which is, like, and one of them was a 3. It's just interesting how much of a fluctuation there is between, like,
I mean, yeah,
everything on this team, honestly.
But, like, that's, like, good. I mean, it's, like, good and bad, I guess, if you want to say, like, you don't have any, like, set roles. But then again, you kind of like that you don't have any set roles because it's, like, anybody can.
It's so hard to predict, though.
Yeah.
You know?
It's hard to game plan for. Like, that's, like, one thing I bet. Like, I bet coaches have trouble being, like, who is going to be the guy tonight.
Yeah. Because, like,
you can game plan all night.
You could look. I mean, you could watch that Canisius game on film if you're Niagara. And you're like, oh, this guy Allen, you know, he played 33 minutes. He took, like, a bunch of shots. He had 14 points or whatever. Then he comes against you on Sunday, doesn't start, plays half those minutes, and only takes 2 shots.
Or they could watch, like, the earlier out of conference games with Cook and, like, them posting up Cook all game long in Stony Brook. And then you go and play, and you're like, Caleb and Taj are killing us from deep. It's like, what is it like?
Yeah. That's actually a great point. I didn't even think about that. It probably is tough to plan because you don't know who's going to be the guy that day. So much easier to say, like,
Marcus Hammond. Right,
yeah, Marcus Hammond is their best player.
Yeah.
We'll hold him. He only had 11 points. He didn't really impress me in this game.
Him and
as much
Roberts,
as he did.
Too. I mean, Roberts is okay, but he took a ton of shots.
Yeah. He had 12 points on, like, 4 of 11. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'll take
the
that.
Bench for him.
Sintram was pretty good, I'd say.
Yeah, their bigs played better than I expected.
But, yeah. It was, that's a great point. It's much easier to prepare for, like, someone, like, when you know their best players. And who else? Mido. 22 minutes, 4-for-4 from the field. 3 rebounds, 8 points. Pretty clean stat line for him. We mentioned
nice
those dunks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, were they all dunks? It might have been close to all of them.
It might have been a couple
dunks.
Layups. But he strictly stays in the paint, which, I mean, it's fine. Like, it's not a bad thing.
No, when you're 4-for-4,
yeah,
take it all day.
Four and you're 7
3
feet
rebounds.
Tall and long,
no turnovers or fouls from him either, which sometimes he can get into,
yeah.
But for the most part, pretty strong.
This was like it's like showtime, this offense, this game. I feel like every time I was watching, it was either a 3-pointer or like an alley-oop. In the second half, like later in that second half, they were like, it was like fancy almost. Like, usually it's like a very grinded out offense at times, but this game was
no, I think you can tell they're starting to get their own confidence
a little
and like
swagger
about them. Yeah, it's like even like. I was saying, we'll come on this show, and now that we're doing good, we'll kind of, like, we'll talk some smack
especially
to the other
Cook,
teams.
Like,
I think they're the same way. Like, now that they know they're kind of good, they'll have their own little style about them.
And I think Cook kind of led the way, like, even that first game with Providence, like, he wasn't, like, wasn't backing down to those guys. Like, he had that little beef in the end of the first half in that game. And, like, it's, like, kind of carried on. Like, they get, like, hype after dunks. Like, they get, like.
Yeah. You got to, I mean, I don't know who specifically is driving that, like which player maybe is like the heart of the team or whatever, but yeah, you can tell they have some, they're pretty close in that.
The emotion is more so than
yeah,
we've seen
care.
In a while.
Yeah, I just think like in previous years when your offense is so poor, you almost can't really have fun because you're like worrying so much
like,
about
like oh,
where's
crap,
my next
like,
point's going to come from.
Like they hit like 1 3-pointer, it's like, oh my God, how are we going to like make
finally.
That up?
Or if we hit a 3-pointer,
oh, yeah,
it's like finally.
Like, yeah, it's relief instead of like excitement.
But now they're like doing so well that they can have the ability to have that style to them, and we're having fun watching it.
Yeah.
So are the fans. So, TJ played 16 minutes in this game, 2-for-4 from the field, which were all 3-pointers, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, a foul, 6 points. So, you know, points dropped a little bit for him this weekend, but obviously other people were picking up the slack, and his shot is still just so sweet.
Yeah,
watching it.
I mean, like, yeah, it's like
he hit a deep three, and he did hit one like deep three in this game that I was just like, wow, it's impressive.
I mean, the fact that he can play a game where he only had 6 points and we can still be in awe of like how impressive he played, it's like he just like is like going to be like our best player in a few years. Like, it's like almost.
Yeah, and even though he didn't score a lot or like play like. Like, he definitely, like, a lot of other guys played better than him, but he's going to be, like, an attractive player
like,
to watch,
it's
too.
It's like gravity, bro. It's like...
Like, he'll draw people to the seats,
too. Draws people to the seats, and I'm talking about in-game, like, he's, like, that gravity to him where, like, when he's on the court, you have to, like, notice he's there. Like, the three-point line,
you got to respect him.
Yeah.
And he can drive, too.
Yeah.
He can do it all. He's not fearless, very fearless, too. You talked about Supreme being pretty fearless. TJ's very fearless, too. On defense as well. I mean, he doesn't care who he's going up against.
Back down.
He'd go up against anyone. He'd go up against an NBA player. He wouldn't be scared, probably. So, finally, Cruz, 23 minutes, 5 for 10 in the field, 1 for 5 from 3. 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 1 block, 4 fouls, 11 points. So, the 3-point shot was a little down this time, but again, 50% shooting from him.
Percentage.
We'll take it. He's always going to play his heart out. He's going to rebound well. Got the assist numbers up there. And, no turnovers again. I mean, the turnovers were very low. I think something interesting is that they had... how many? They have, like, 7 turnovers or something?
Yeah.
According to ESPN, I don't know if this is 100% right, but all these turnovers, like, anyone who had a turnover only had one.
So it was like a mental, just like a quick mental mistake, block it out.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like someone.
It's nice
was like
to not see someone like
repeatedly
four. Yeah.
Messing up.
Because we see sometimes people 3-4 turnovers.
And can we acknowledge that NFL, like, imbalance play at the end of the game finally, like,
the Tataj?
Finally worked.
Yeah.
I feel like every time we run that, it ends up in like a timeout and they have to restart.
Yeah. I'm usually not a huge fan of that whole, like, people lining up out of bounds and they like run across. I don't know.
Inbounded short there. I think that's the first time we've ever seen like release like deep on one of those plays. Or
yeah,
actually throw it to the guy that releases deep.
I guess it's risky if it's not wide open, but it was.
Yeah,
on this one.
I mean, also it was like, I mean, what was it? It was like they're up like 6 or 8 at that point. It wasn't like it was like a.
There wasn't do or die. Yeah. Yeah. So, that was exciting. A lot of exciting plays. Like you said. Maybe taking more risks that they didn't in the past because they didn't have the luxury to, because their offense wasn't as good. So it's been exciting, and it's fun to talk about. Like, I think we just hit an hour on here, and it's like, I don't know. I feel like in past, we sometimes will be like...
Trying to search for...
Searching for words, but it's like, I feel like I have so much to talk about now when we watch them play, and there's like so much... There's so much that goes into this team now. In the past, it was like these two guys... Played decent,
well,
and the rest of the team played poorly and whatever. Now it's like, I don't know.
Most of the time it was us complaining about guys needing to get more minutes and less minutes,
yeah.
But now it's like...
And now we have like 8-9 guys that we can have like a serious, like long conversation about.
And like the minutes
game.
Like don't even matter because everyone's really performing kind of to their standard. So it's like, doesn't really matter who's getting more or less minutes because everyone's kind of performing.
It doesn't even matter like... When, like you said, when TJ has 6 or when Taj has 7 because someone else picked it up, and it's just, it's beautiful to see. They're playing beautiful basketball right now. They are 3rd in the MAC, tied for 1st, really, 2-0, 5-3 overall. And, yeah. Who did Iona lose to second game?
They lost to
Belmont. Kansas, I forgot.
Oh, you're talking about the second game.
I don't know why I blanked. So tonight we look ahead. Fairfield, they play Holy Cross. This is at 7 p.m. at Webster Bank Arena. For anyone still listening, if you're listening before the game happens, which is kind of a time crunch because it's kind of soon. But if you're listening before it happens, you can come to the game tonight. Doors open at 6. I think it's a ugly sweater t-shirt giveaway for like the first 200 fans. I'm not sure if it's students or all fans. Bring a teddy bear for the toy drive. I got my teddy bear last night. And... yeah, come cheer on the boys. It's the last home game for us on campus, or like being here at school, because we got winter break coming up, and the next game is the 23rd at home. So it's the last home game with students at it, so let's try to get a good crowd out there tonight and cheer the boys on. They're 14.5-point favorites. I think it's 14 right now.
89% of match predictor on ESPN. They have an 89% chance.
I hate ESPN match predictor. I have an issue with them because they're always wrong, and I hope they're not wrong tonight. 14-point favorites. I think Fairfield's like minus 1250 right now or something
11,
like that.
I see a minus 1100 on here.
So hopefully it'll be a good night for all you listening to come out, watch the boys play, and have a little happy night.
Your bettors, they're 6-1 against the spread against a team that's 1-6 against the spread, so you never know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not here to like take them lightly or anything. I don't know if Fairfield can cover 14 points.
I just don't know if they have like I think they could win by 14, but I just don't know if they would keep the pedal like
to the metal.
Yeah, like but I don't want to be a cliche, but like, I don't think they are going to be scoring over and over again like in the second half up 15.
Yeah, I mean, the thing we say is like we said a lot is that Fairfield plays up to the good teams and down to the bad teams, and like the MAC teams, they're always going to have close games against them, you know, because they're similar skills, so they'll play like kind of even with those teams. And like it's been like that this year. They've played up to the good teams, BC, Providence. They've played down to some of the bad teams Loyola, Stony Brook. So we don't know what we're going to get.
Like they're playing Meg Rivers. Like, this is still, like, a legit.
Oh, yeah, no, it's
team.
Not going to be, like, a 50-point win. That you could really throw that one out of the window. But just in general, like, I hope, like you said, that they really give their best effort the whole game and they don't just, like, keep it close and say, like, we'll take it at the end or whatever, because, like, you always wind up screwing yourself when you do that. And, we saw it against Loyola, and we saw it almost against Stony Brook. So hopefully I don't really know if they're going to cover 14, but I think even if they win by, like, 10 or 12,
yeah,
it'd be
nice.
I
think it'll be a convincing 12.
I just want it to be, like, not in question at the end of the game, you know? We shouldn't be worrying by, like, the 10-minute mark in the second half.
Like, we just got to worry about the semantics, the final score.
So just a little background on Holy Cross. They lost to Boston College, common opponent. They lost by 30 this year. They also lost to Quinnipiac, a MAC team. They lost by 8. They lost to Air Force, Bryant. They beat Mount St. Vincent, which I don't think that's a D1 school.
I don't think so either.
New Hampshire, they lost. Central Connecticut, they lost. LaSalle, they lost. So the only wins are against Regis College, which also doesn't sound like a D1 school, and Mount St. Vincent. So I don't think they have a D1 win. They play Fairfield tonight. They play Siena on Saturday. So they got a couple MAC teams ahead of them. And, I think this, like, series history pretty close, according to the message boards. And I did see that, man. Maybe I lost it. I think they are a poor three-point shooting team, I think I saw.
Let's see. Three points advantage, they shoot 37% as a team.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought online. Oh, actually, they might be second. They might be second in the league, in their league, in three-point percentage. So maybe they are pretty good. They lead their league in block shots with 4.6 a game, and they're third in rebounding margin. But, all things considered, I think they're projected to be one of the worst teams in their league. And, hopefully we put them in their place. And, yeah, not much else to say about that. Sunday, William & Mary, Fairfield. Fairfield's on the road. They're finally paying back that William & Mary game. Yeah. And that's Sunday, 1 p.m. So we'll be live tweeting about that as well. And then, are you still here next Wednesday?
I will still be here next Wednesday.
So are we doing a show here?
If you want. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything. I have, like,
that's
almost a week
that's
off.
That's a reading day, so.
Yeah. So we'll do a show next Wednesday on air and on streaming services. And then we'll definitely have to do at-home shows over break because the season will be so much in swing. So, yeah, this week, all we got until we're back is Holy Cross tonight, William & Mary on Sunday. Fairfield FDU is next Wednesday, but we'll cover that on our next show. So thanks for listening. I know it ran a little long today, but we had a lot to talk about because things are looking up for Fairfield, and when that happens, we got a lot to say. So hopefully see you all there tonight, Any final words?
No. Well, end us off.
All right. So, thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter, Red Sea Radio. We'll see you at the game tonight. And as always, we're hoping for two more wins going into next week's show. So we'll end off, as we always do, by saying Ghost Eggs.